I have Dollop tour dates to announce for the year 2024 of our Lord J-Town. We have our 10th anniversary show coming up in Los Angeles on April 27th. Guests are Karen Kilgariff and James Adomian. And then we are going to Australia starting on May 13th in Perth, May 16th in Sydney, May 18th in Brisbane, May 20th in Canberra, May 22nd in Melbourne, and May 24th in Adelaide. You can get your tickets at dolloppodcast.com.
Everybody, welcome to the Pastimes Podcast. Each week we go through an old newspaper from a random date in history picked out by Dave Anthony. I'm Gareth Reynolds, and I've never seen it before, and neither is our guest this week,
Naomi Asparagon. Hi, Naomi.
Hey.
How are you?
Honestly, I am abuzz with nerves, okay?
Oh,
how
really?
Are you? I'm abuzz with nerves
possible?
Because, Naomi, you are conquering Netflix with the stand-ups, a 30-minute special.
Yes.
And
yeah,
dynamite, wall-to-wall dynamite. Really. It must be, I mean, it has to be kind of like nice to have a moment where you can actually kick back for a second and be like, I fucking have something. There's a nice thing. There's like
yes.
a thing. There's people are talking about. It's during a pandemic. I recorded some shit.
Yes.
Does it feel good?
It really does. I said, I'm going to sit down in January. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it was that feeling. Yeah. And we taped it in August, and it was initially supposed to come out in October. And so I was initially being like, when do I get to like be done? And so now that it's out, I was like, I get to take a break because.
Yeah. And what a great time to take a break. Seriously, to be like, yeah, I'm good for a minute.
Why? There's nothing going on.
No, I agree. So check that out. That's the stand-ups. That's on Netflix. That's out now. Obviously, you also have a podcast called Couples Therapy, and your social media. Are you the same on Instagram? You're at Blacktress on Twitter.
On Twitter, Blacktress Comedy on Instagram, because somebody came through. Someone came
in. That was
in
me.
There.
I did that.
You
I
did.
Loved it on Twitter, so I thought, I'm nabbing this. This is Gareth's.
That's the name of my first stand-up album, Black.
And Dave, I really think
colon,
it's
bigger and Blacktress. Is that it?
Actually you're actually right in a couple ways. His first album is called Colon. And it is a disgusting album that nobody what? Should
it's all about
man.
It's about my insides. I really reveal myself.
Yeah, Dave misunderstood what it means meant to like show himself in a special. So we're just gonna go through a paper and Dave, what when?
Oh, when you ask? Well,
do you want to guess, Naomi? Do you want to guess what year? A lot of them are 1800s.
Right. Okay. What if it was November 17th, 1894?
If this is right, if this is right,
that's not it.
Okay. I'm going to go 9, 10. 1866.
You're both so. I'm throwing a curveball in this one. Curveball.
Yesterday's
January,
paper.
Yesterday. January 13th, 1970.
Whew. Interesting, David.
The Star Tribune in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
All right. Minneapolis.
That?
Okay, they dicey now. So I wonder what was happening in 1970.
Let's see the seeds that would eventually flourish in the fine town.
The great town.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing. You know, I don't want to. I don't go through the really hardcore news stories. We pick out the fun stuff. So page
well,
one.
Most
we're
times
already,
the
we're already on page two.
Okay, perfect. Because perfect. The old papers, a lot of times the sequencing is honestly, but it's like how a Chinese paper would be read by it. It's like the craziest news is last. And then like the beginning is just like Doug ran.
That's how you gotta welcome people in, right? It's a slow burn.
That's right.
The amuse-bouche.
Exactly. Being like, see, you know you want to read. And then by the end, it's like, kill yourself.
That's how we do it.
Oh, here we got on page two, we have like an old-timey ad with the headline, Why Are You a Boar?
Wow. What?
Well, I'm interested in this. I'm interested in this article immediately. Why am I a bore?
Let me read about why I'm boring.
A noted publisher in Chicago reports a simple technique of everyday conversation, which can pay you real dividends in social and business advancement and works like magic to give you poise, self-confidence, and greater popularity.
Whoa! Wow. Is this a cocktail? You're telling me it's a phrase that will make me feel pretty and make people like me.
Yeah. This is like that trainer on YouTube videos who's like, there's one food that if you eat, you'll have a six pack. Where you're like, wait, I would feel like I would have heard about it by now.
I think they're saying that this guy is going to teach you how to talk to people.
Right, right.
According to this publisher, many people do not realize how much they could influence others simply by what they say and how they say it.
This is, you said 1970 or like 1570?
Because it feels very 1570. It's like, did you know that words have meaning and that human interaction is important?
Talking can be an extension of you.
Have you considered that if you don't just stare at people and you converse with them, how far you can go?
Most men believe standing in the corner, sipping a beer, rubbing their crotch is the way to be the life of the party.
Whether in business or at social functions, or even in casual conversations with new acquaintances, there are ways to make a good impression every time you talk. I mean, are you in? I am in.
This is almost like, it's like they're stringing me along. I'm saying get to it. It better be in 24-point font.
Yeah, it also, it's like, I'm already kind of bored by the person telling me how to not sound boring.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. To acquaint the readers of this paper with the easy-to-follow rules for developing skill in everyday conversation, the publishers have printed full details of their interesting self-training method in a new book, Adventures in Conversation.
So okay, okay. You know, I just noticed on the third lead-in to the same thing that these are the publishers. We don't know who these people are. Okay, these publishers could be two dudes named Ted. And yeah, they're saying, we got up enough money for a newspaper ad. What do we want to do with
it? All right, I say we give them the same ad three different ways.
Okay.
Ted?
Well, I'd agree. I think maybe four different ways. And then direct them to page Z7. For the tag.
I can't.
Book on how to talk. Right?
Ted, stop rubbing your crotch and eating one peanut.
Hello. Do you like crotch peanuts? I read a book. I have a book on how to do this.
I read a book.
I read a book about it.
Well, they're not. It will be mailed free to anyone who requests it. No obligation. Simply enclose a dime to cover postage and handling.
Nope.
Send your name, address, and zip code to conversation.
What? Okay. To conversation? Did you say send to conversation?
Like it's Santa in the North Pole. To conversation. They're like, oh, we'll get it.
One there. Conversation Lane. Conversation, California. 90210.
They don't even need in this town. They don't even need to put the address because the postman gets in and goes, this one's another one for conversation.
I was gonna say, just say, you're really putting a lot on the post person to be like, oh fuck, where was that again? I know where argument is, but where's conversation?
Do you think this was the original March of Dimes? Just them, just sending in people, sending in dimes, trying to figure out how do we get these dimes to conversation.
Seriously, what is the, I mean, there's an address here, but what is the, I mean, they must then say like, oh, sign up for a conversation course and it'd be like, you know, page chapter one, ask about the weather.
Yeah.
How did you like the weather today?
Dave, I like your version of how to have exciting, stimulating conversation is weather chat.
Timeless.
Did you see the news last evening?
Actually, yeah, I saw a wonderful ad about how to have a conversation right there in the news.
Have you talked to Dave lately? He's so much better than he was.
It's like he's reading.
It's like he's a meteorologist.
Hey, guys, I saw
It's like hanging
puppy.
Out with a Doppler.
I saw a puppy and a cat.
Wow, this guy, pull a seat up. Someone read a book on how to chat.
Gareth, if you want to know how I learned to talk like this...
Are you okay? You're standing kind of stilted in a lot of this.
I can take you there.
There's a hole in the back of your head with blood coming. What the hell?
I learned how to conversations.
You okay? Why aren't you blinking?
Join me.
That's wild. And now, can you tell me how big of an ad that is? Is that a full page? Is that a quarter page?
No. It's like less than a quarter page.
It's not very big at all.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to write. By the way, I'm addressing an envelope tonight to conversation and just seeing what happens.
I love that idea because my mom used to always suggest to me, you know, when I wanted to be an actor or comedian, she's always like, you need to write to Oprah. And that's all it would say. So I would, that's all she would do is like write to Oprah. So I'd be like, Oprah at 1 Oprah Lane, Oprah, Illinois.
Harpo, like, Illinois.
How?
Were you really writing letters to her?
No, I didn't do it. That's what my mother told me was going to break me in, was to write to Oprah.
It's worked for so many people.
That's so true.
Yeah, that's how I got here.
Janine Garofalo, David Cross.
That's really those comics from the 90s. From the 90s.
Comics. Big. Zach Galifianakis.
She's the producer of the Comedians of Comedy.
Okay, well, here's on page three. There's an intense story. Bomb thrown at bank.
Wow.
Whew. New York, New York. A firebomb was thrown at the Midtown offices of the Bank of New York before dawn Sunday, but caused only minor damage, police said. The bomb cracked the large front window of the bank on the ground floor of the CBS building at 6th Avenue and 53rd Street. The firebomb ignited, but the flames did not spread. Isn't that a bomb being thrown at the CBS building and not a bank?
You got a lot of questions for the guy who's in charge.
I'm just saying, you know, the bomb was thrown at a building.
A weak arm.
I'm just saying.
They had a weak arm. So it was meant for the bank.
Yes.
But it hit CBS. Do you see? And that's really the news story. That's the story there. It's like, how did you miss so hard?
And it has also got to be very, like, a big letdown when your bomb only smashes a window. And you're like, that could have been a brick, and I would look at way less jail time.
Exactly.
I
mean,
could you imagine you throw a bomb and all you hear is thunk? It's the saddest moment in bomb
Oprah
history.
Oprah comes out the window. She's like, I like the way this sounds.
But it's also to me, like, imagine, like, New York 1970, and you just in Midtown trying to live, and then some random bomb, or rather thunk. Exactly. It's like you could just, I just feel like as a New Yorker, I can just see people turning around being like, who this bitch?
It's not Chicago. Yeah. They're like, get out of here. This is the Big Apple. Our bombs go off.
You need a bigger apple if you want it to go off. That's the truth.
All microwave ovens.
Loving the start, pal. Loving the start.
All microwave ovens will be checked.
What?
Surgeon General Jesse Steinfeld.
Okay. Surgeon General Electric.
Okay.
Announced Monday a repair survey of all 100,000 microwave ovens in use as a follow-up to a random government study that found 1 in 3 of those tested leaking enough radiation to present a health problem.
Ooh, okay.
Well, I mean,
Okay, 100,000. Sure. Where are these microwaves? Where are the microwaves? What is the space? Because you telling me 1 in 3 microwaves is leaking, but we don't know where they are?
It's just quite, I mean, it feels like an Amazing Race game.
Find the microwave.
Crazy.
Find the leaky radiated microwave. By the way, it sounds like you'd be better off throwing a microwave at the CBS building.
That'll get something done. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wait.
Yeah, that's crazy. Green, like, vroom, 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 vroom. Hello.
Okay.
I mean, that's all there is. That's the whole story.
What?
They're like, hey, look. I mean, literally, it's a newspaper in this 1970, and they're like, hey, one out of every three microwaves is just leaking a lot of fucking radiation. Anyway, we're going to do a survey on it.
Okay, first of all, I'm very upset that how to have a conversation is longer than the irradiated microwaves. Okay,
100%.
Because that is what we need to know. That's where we need a word count.
Yeah.
Also, that feeling of, what's the survey going to do? It's going to be like, do you suffer from radiation?
Yes.
Have you found out you had cancer?
Yes.
Did you try to make a hungry man dinner?
I did.
Well, there you have it. And then they just put
Are
it
you
on a
glowing?
Pile.
Does your sun float? Are you able to move pictures on the wall with your eyeballs?
Are your teeth falling out?
Yeah. Has your jaw dropped? You might be doing more than reheating steak.
Did you fall into a pile of cancer?
Wait, isn't it about, what is it? Y'all even covered it, I feel like, on a dollop. The ones, the ladies who were like painting clocks or some shit.
Oh, the radium. It feels very girls, that energy.
Very, like, it totally does. Got this microwave. We'll figure it out eventually. Bye.
Well, it also shows you like how, because things are so shit now. It is almost refreshing to be like, yeah, we were still sending radiating microwaves out back then and letting the marketplace decide.
But it's also like, I always heard that some people are always scared that radiation came from microwaves.
Yeah.
And you'd always be like, oh, you're so stupid. And they're like, no, it's a real thing.
I was just telling someone the other day, I think my brother and I were talking about it, but like my dad would literally, he would like, if he wasn't around, we would just like microwave how you normally microwave. But if my dad was around, like how a dentist takes x-rays of your teeth, he'd be like, go in another room. And I'd be like, bro, half of the thing is like monitoring and lifeguarding the potato.
Well, my grandmother, she would do that. She was against microwaves for the longest. She, you know, she grew up, she was born in 1916, okay? Homegirl went back, yeah. Right?
Right.
And so when she had, and I used to spend summers with her, and I was a kid, and it was like, I would just get like I would eat a lot of frozen food, but she refused to let me have a microwave. So like literally I would eat breakfast and then start preheating for lunch. You know what I mean? Because it takes so long. And then when I finally got a microwave, she put it like in her outdoor. It's almost like a sunroom. So like, it was just like, it technically counted as outside of the house.
I love it.
And then she was like, don't go in there till you hear the beep. And then you weren't allowed in until it beeped.
You're like, I burned it. I remember there was a time in college where I don't remember if it was a principled stance or a poor stance, but my roommate and I, we would be making microwaved foods in the oven. And it just shows you the convenience. Yeah. A microwave is like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And then in the oven, it's like 4 hours and 55 minutes. You're like, what? This is a lot different.
So much. You really have to know that you're going to be hungry.
Mm-hmm. So we have a new invention, it seems like.
Is it something that sucks radium out of people?
It's not.
Oh,
it's so different than that. New scarecrow joins the birds.
What?
He that turncoat.
A vineyard consultant for a wine company.
Lots happening early.
Was granted a patent last week for a scarecrow.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Seton Mendel of Penn Yan, New York, calls his invention Hector the Hawk.
Well, I don't believe he knows what a scarecrow is, or someone is not someone does not know what a scare. The name is, it's one of the better names we have. It's very straightforward.
Yeah. It's a crow that sits out in the. It stands there.
It's not a crow. It's a fucking crazy
scarecrow.
Man.
Yeah.
He scares the crows. He's a man to scare the crows, Dave.
The scarecrow has wings spread in simulated flight and is suspended from a wire so that it moves smoothly in the air currents about 10 feet above a field of grapes or corn. Only grapes or corn.
This is so, like, this is why I wish I had been born before, because you could just make up anything and be like, this is my invention. And because in essence, you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like a cat toy. A bird on a string, and you just wave it back and forth over the corn or the grapes. And that person, first of all, vineyard consultant, you went to liberal arts college.
Glick, 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 yeah.
Exactly. It's like, that is not a job.
And then I'm like, a vineyard consultant at home a lot. But that's true. So, are we talking about like a kind of bungeeing?
Yeah, it's a bird on wires. It's on wires. It's Hector the Hawk on wire. And Hector the Hawk.
Okay.
Hector the Hawk can protect a circular area of about 400 square feet from robins.
Easier way to say that for sure. Go ahead.
Starlings and other birds. You could just
say
birds.
I would just say birds. I hope you're not paying by word.
But because I don't know if you have like a mother like I have, but if you said birds, she would go, what about robins? So I get why the guy wrote that.
she'd have, you'd be like, it's in the category that I threw out.
What about orioles? Yeah, it's actually all birds. What about sparrows?
And then so this is, you're having flashbacks.
Protection of an acre would require 7 scarecrows. So this idea is batshit insane, because imagine to have a flying scarecrow, which it's basically a flying hawk, It's a fake hawk. It's a fawk. To have a fawk, you have to have a bunch of poles and wires, and then it like goes
over the like. What are we talking? 20 feet in the air on like every like on the corners of your acreage, and then they have to fly and not get tangled up in each other. So let's talk about that.
It's
and then there can't be weather. Don't you think? Well, like there can't be like a gust of wind or lightning or.
Well, I mean, you're poking a lot of holes, but we're so used to it now that obviously it catches on. I mean, we're always talking about the fucking bungee hawk field scarers.
Hector hawks. Yeah. Hector you got a Hector hawk covering that land? Yeah.
Imagine the guys who bought it. They're like, this is a bad, this is going to sink us. What the fuck? We hit the scarecrows are easy. We did it. We wanted seven scarecrows. It's not that hard. Now we got men out here boomeranging this fucking stuffed hawk. This isn't a life. We had to hire four more workers to control the hawk maintenance.
Yeah, but the scarecrows are all scared, so...
Well, the scarecrows are having a meeting going, these hawks are taking our jobs.
Taking our American jobs.
There's jobs meant for scarecrows.
Hector? Are they trying to be racial?
I don't want to say anything, but I've had enough with the Hectors.
Mm-hmm. Let's think about that.
Hector.
Well, this is exciting. We have some international news.
Ooh.
Copter crash kills bad boy of Philippines.
Grabbing my attention.
Okey-dokey bad boy. We're all listening.
Jamie Laurel, nicknamed Banjo.
Sure, Dave, Flat, we'll let you keep going, but we're not happy with what we hear so far. I speak for both of us.
31, the bad boy scion of one of the most powerful and famous families in the Philippines, died Sunday in the crash of a helicopter about 150 miles south of Manila. Mm-hmm. His pilot and a police officer were also killed.
They saw a flying hawk that they thought was a scary man, and they freaked out. And
but why who's
traveling
there?
Who's traveling with a cop?
Exactly.
Who travels with a cop?
Exactly.
He's supposed to be a bad boy, but he's got a cop with him?
I mean, well, to be fair, Dave, I don't know if they're the good guys.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, no.
ACAB is all cops are bad boys.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what it means.
It's just that extra B you don't pronounce.
Yeah, you don't say it. People don't like to step it out, but that's what it is.
Laurel was the mayor of Tanwan City, the ancestral home of the Laurels in Batangas Province. His grandfather was a president. His father is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. One uncle is the ambassador to Japan, and another a senator and potential aspirant to the Philippine presidency. So he's fucking loaded. He's in.
Sounding like a bad boy.
Not sounding like a bad boy at all. Maybe we get into that, though. Since 1964, Laurel had blazed his way across Philippine front pages.
I'm like, is that it?
Here we
is
go.
Right? Let me, for the podcast, I'll translate. Smoking weed.
Linked to a series of events that included the murder of his wife. I'm buying the bad boy.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's
no,
bad.
No, we just completely passed bad boy. You don't get to call a murderer a bad boy.
Well, he's not a good boy.
He's not a good boy. Was he was he actually found guilty or they're just like whispered?
Either way,
okay,
I'm in.
Well, I guess linked to. So.
Okay, so that's bad boy.
That's bad boy. Yeah, that is 100% bad boy.
Okay, the murder of his wife and a friend and assorted brawls and pistol whippings. I like it's just assorted pistol whippings.
Assorted. Yeah, assorted. A plethora.
Spread the wealth. He was an equal opportunity pistol whipper.
At various times, he was officially accused of murder, attempted murder, malicious mischief, illegal possession of firearms, and assaulting a police officer, but invariably beat the charges because he's from a fucking connected family.
Because he's connected, and obviously, well, what if the cop that was on the plane was a, like, maybe that was the whole plan to kill that cop, right? Because he's out here a bad boy. He's out here pistol whipping. He's out here killing people. Maybe he was like, I'm taking you down with me, copper.
He probably just pistol. And I would just say that, you know, it's very, if you do engage in illegal activities and you're royal, they never, you always are criminally held accountable, you know. Just look at what's happening currently with Prince Philip, who's just going to sweat the rest of his life out in some little palace shed. I believe it was photoshopped, really? I don't think I have a right arm. If memory serves, my right arm was gone when that picture was taken.
He died 2 weeks before he was due to be arraigned in the Pasig court near Manila on charges of attempted homicide. So he had another. He had just killed another. Or attempted. Okay. He tried to get another person.
Bad boy.
But also D.B. Cooper. Okay, now I'm saying he might not be dead.
Whoa. The charges grew out of a nightclub shooting a year ago in which two brothers were wounded in a gun battle in front of the Basfeed nightclub, a favorite haunt. The brothers identified Laurel and his bodyguards as the gunman.
Mm. I really like the Naomi theory that this guy is still there.
Think about it. He came back. He was so close to being home, like 150 miles.
He's a royal.
Royal. I mean,
he's pistol whipping cops, and then he's helicoptering with them.
Think about it. Think about it.
Think about it.
He is probably, I mean, what was he? He was 31, and this was in 1970.
So he's.
So yeah, he's probably
dead. He'd almost be 40 years old by now. I am Naomi. I'll just point out I'm able to quickly calculate numbers in a way mm-hmm. that is mm-hmm. They call me the human calculator, so I'm just kind of able to
like somebody who hated school, just like
exactly
that.
Yeah. I hated it because I was so bored.
You were a bad boy.
I was like, I know all the answers. Yeah, I was a bad boy. I was writing boobs on the calculator. Come on.
All right, here's one. Oh boy.
Oh, bad
drugs.
Boy?
Drugs spur animal sex life, but it's but it's too early to tell effect on human beings.
What page is this? How is this in the same paper about how to have comfortable conversation? Can you bang a rat?
No, it would really be like rats be fucking. Am I right? Like that's how you start the conversation. Did you hear?
You still got the ale and rubbing your crotch. I can't shake it all at once. Did you hear? People be out here fucking rats. What's your name? I'm Ted.
All right, so.
Well, I'm excited to hear where this goes.
I know. I'm like, what is this?
Is this an editorial where a guy's like, you should be able to marry a calf?
isn't even legal. It's animal age.
I like them young. My cows, yeah.
This is page 12, and it's right next to the wedding announcements.
Oh, but please. Herbert Clarksman and a goat are also being wed.
Oh, they're registered at a feed store. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay, researchers at the National Heart Institute, Bethesda, Maryland, have found...
The heart wants what it wants.
have found a drug that can stimulate sexual activity in animals. Okay. And there's one case where it might have had the same effect on a woman.
Okay.
Wait, what just happened?
This is...
Can we all agree that animals is like a very vague and wide-ranging term?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes. Just animals. Just animals. Also,
animals.
And then who was this poor woman?
It's clearly a guy's wife or girlfriend that works there. He's just like, hey, so I gave this to a bunch of hamsters today. Can you put this in your mouth?
It just does show you how fucked the perspective is when the headline isn't, you know, woman takes animal drug. You know what I mean? Instead, like, animals might be made to be more flirtatious. A woman accidentally tried it. Though technically not an animal, a woman also had it. It's just like, so, like the headline is very non-compassionate.
Has a true aphrodisiac, a drug that increases sexual desire in humans, finally been found? One of the researchers, Dr. Gian Gessa, spoke continuously of this possibility in a phone interview.
Continuously. He wouldn't shut the fuck up, to be honest.
He kept saying it. It's an aphrodisiac. It's an aphrodisiac. It's an aphrodisiac. It's an aphrodisiac.
All right.
Doctor, can we ask you something else? It's an aphrodisiac. The rats, all right. The rats all right. Be fucking.
All right. We're good. We are good. We got all we need. Thanks so much for taking the time. It's very continuous.
It is too early to know, but he said this marks the first time that a drug has been shown to have such an effect even on an animal.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, is that the article? Because
there's much more.
Okay, good, because my thinking is, also, what does this have to do with the Heart Institute? Y'all need to be over here talking about cardiovascular. You need to be talking about exercise. You need to be talking about cutting your fats. You over here trying to get animals horny? That's not right. Related. How did you get that grant money?
Yeah. And at some point, can we circle back on the woman? From the press corps. You mentioned the woman before. We're all a little,
Guessin two colleagues, all visiting scientists from Italy at the... Mm. Oh, there you go. Fucking
well, there you go.
Hey,
there
it's okay, go. Huh?
Hey, you like a fucker.
Hey.
So reported in the journal Science that the experimental drug, I'm not going to say that name, chlorpheniramine, had produced sexual excitement in both rats and rabbits. Oh, like it's hard to produce sexual excitement in a fucking rabbit.
I know, that's all they do.
I would love to see. I would love to see what a sexually excited rabbit looks like.
Because
they're all like ready to go.
I'll send you one of my videos.
I'm good. I'm all. Thank you, sir.
When combined with a drug called Pargoline,
sure.
They said male rats' sexual excitation lasted for several hours and usually reached a climax with all the animals in one cage attempting to mount each other at the same time.
What? So they just made a fucking rat bang?
No, they invented a furry pile.
But, I mean, the way that is put, it's very 70s, by the way. It's like we put a bunch of beings in a room and there was cum everywhere when we came back. There was a bunch of keys in a goldfish bowl and we said, that's the Heart Institute for you. That's the work we're doing. The heart wants what it wants.
Just the idea that someone was like, this is great. We made a bunch of rats try to fuck each other in a cage. Everyone's like, that's not great.
For hours we watched. We watched for hours as they just continued to climax after climax. Anyway, we're here for more funding, and here's why we deserve it.
In rabbits, the result was compulsive sexual behavior that lasted up to 3 days.
Jeez. What?
That's like meth.
Yeah.
They invented meth.
Wow.
All the animals given PCPA have been males so far. Buddy indicated he is confident the drug will have the same effect on females. But what about humans, you asked.
We're not ready to ask that question, by the way. We're years of research away from asking what about humans. They've just put a bunch of male mice in a cage, like they came a bunch on each other.
Well, if you're a doctor,
I am.
and you see about 40 rats fucking each other in a cage, your first thought is, where's a lady?
I think we're ready for humans. Are we all thinking the same thing? It's time to get a human in here. I mean, how long do we need to prove this theory?
He told of one case where a woman being treated with this drug for an intestinal tumor became very sexually excited and was chasing everybody.
What are you saying? This woman had a tumor and they gave her rat horny pill and then she was like, doctor, I would like to have sex. Is that what you're telling me the sequence of events is?
It's not a life.
It's in quotes, chasing everybody.
She was probably furious. She's like, I thought this was chemotherapy. They're like, sort of. It's come up.
The solution was to allow her husband to stay with her in the hospital.
No, that's not what it said.
That's not the solution either.
I swear to God, that's what it says.
The solution? The solution was a prescription of husband.
What?
Oh shit! That's a fucking amazing. Have other instances?
What a rich, great history we have in this country. Always putting humans first.
Have other instances of sexual excitement in persons on PCPA gone unreported because no one was looking for this effect or didn't want to fucking own up to the fact that they were wanting to bang everybody? So
it is also it's amazing that they're like, it'll be all male rats. Like, should we try it on humans? Like, well, a woman.
One sick woman. 40 male woman. Rats or we'll one 40, sick
we,
woman.
We say we think that these 40 horny rats make up one ill woman. Exactly. You know, these rats are bad boys. So what's going on? Come on.
Holy shit. Oh, fuck.
I mean, is the medicine supposed to be for cancer? Do you see what I'm saying?
We're not answering questions about the medication at this time. We're not really ready to jump into that part of it just yet, honestly. But what we know is the woman and her husband are still in the room, and that's all we have. And we're ready for market, we believe.
What I'm taking from this is that they had a cancer medication for tumors, and then one lady took it, and she wanted to fuck all the time, and they're like, this is the magic pill!
That's like with Chantix, when they were like, it was a sleep aid, and then they start people quitting smoking. They're like, that's what we were inventing. It was a smoking thing. That's what it was. We're ready for market.
You guys want some letters to the editor?
Absolutely.
I call them letters.
Letters. Walked out of movie. Editor. We have just seen the movie Goodbye Columbus at our local theater. I should say, from seeing part of the movie, it was so disgusting and revolting that we walked out sick from it and demanded a refund. We got two free passes to see a children's movie. I wonder how many parents realize the kind of filth their teenagers see. It's no wonder America is so full of moral decay. Mrs. Jo Vanberg.
What is it called? Goodbye Columbus?
Goodbye Columbus.
Why?
Very...
Why would you tell the editor that and not, like, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer? Do you know what I mean? Like, whoever made the motion picture. I don't understand why he's telling that to the Star Tribune.
It is so fucking true. It's like, why did they print it? They were like, this is important. This will take up. You know, we don't need to follow up on that cancer woman that they gave the bang pill to. This lady left a movie. Goodbye, Columbus. Oh, that's the...
Ally McGraw film. It's an Ally McGraw film starring Richard Love Benjamin. Story? Oh, it's based on a Philip Roth novella.
Oh, Lord.
So, you know.
And this is for teenagers? Is where
I know. It's clearly not for it. It's an adult film. I don't know what she's even talking about.
Oh, it's got Jack Klugman in it.
Well, then there you go.
Well, teenagers are going to see.
Sorry, the tag is, every father's daughter is a virgin.
Okay, well, this is on you, okay? This is on you for seeing this motion picture.
This took a turn. This took a turn. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
73% of people liked it on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, no, it has a 92 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, we have to see this. We have to see this.
I'm going
to
write a letter to the editor from this page.
You should.
God, before YouTube comments, people were just like, I'm mad about some stuff that happened. Okay.
Yeah, these are 100% just like tweets and shit you put on Facebook.
Right.
Yeah. this guy's just mad. Okay. New decade is a year away. To the editor, I am fed up with all the news columnists, television commentators, and other supposedly intelligent people blithely claiming 1970 as the beginning of a new decade, which is still a year in the future. The facts are as follows.
Oh, jeez.
There was no year zero. Thus, the first decade compromised the years 1 through 10, and the second, the years 11 through 20, and the third, 21 through... Each decade starts with a year ending in 1 and ends with a year ending in 0. Thus, the current decade began on January 1st, 1961, and will end on December 31st, 1970. Don't fucking stop me! I am glad I will not be around in the year 2000 when most people will believe the new century and millennium will have begun. Of course, this event will not be here until January 1st, 2001.
Wow.
What's his name?
Curtis Anderson of Coon Rapids.
Coon Rapids? Yeah, that checks out. Good Lord. I'm just being so stupid now. But that is that's a person who needs to read the book about how to have a conversation. Because if that's what they're bringing to the dinner party, they're not getting invited back. They're not getting invited back. Okay?
I mean, have you ever heard that before, Dave?
Yeah.
You have heard that. Okay. I've never heard it.
Me neither.
Yeah, I've heard it, but it's also not something you get mad about.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just like, hey, how about we have a party? He's like, party! You can have a party, but not for a decade party!
You can see everywhere he goes, it's just simmering at people like, hey, Jim, what's going on? He's like, the year zero is not the beginning! All right. Hey, look, man, I just wanted to...
Like, Happy New Year, Curtis. Hey, Curtis, Happy New Year, bud.
Yeah, fuck you. Happy New Year. Listen to me closely.
I... We left a poinsettia on your desk.
I want to be dead in the year 2000.
Okay.
Because I can't take it.
Okay, cool, Curtis. Good to see you. I'm going to go back to
Good to see you, too. I sent a letter of conversation, Jacinta. It might get better.
Oh, no.
Here's a classic Minneapolis.
Jose.
Salute to police force.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
Dear editor, it makes me angry when I pick up the paper and learn that a boy has been shot by a policeman. And what? Right away, people blame the policeman. Did it ever occur to them that if the boys weren't stealing, they would not be shot at? It is simple as that. My hat is off. My hat is off to our wonderful police force. Stella Tip.
Boot.
Oh my God, Minneapolis.
I mean, I wish that more people were able to see the unevolved thought.
Yes.
But I mean,
oh yeah.
It is the exact same perspective. Yeah. They are rioting.
100%. Yeah. Right. They did something bad. That's why they got shot.
Right.
You're like,
if you steal food, you should die.
Yeah.
Like Stella.
It's the greatest
reaction. Well, got your group back, sis.
Yeah, it is. We still are, it is still, that thought is still so widely supported. I mean, I won't even get into it, but it is fucking incredible to hear. Literally, that could be in the paper in Minneapolis today.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's Sean Hannity's show every night.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, here. So we'll end with this letter to the paper, which is another guy that's mad about stuff.
Is it all dudes?
There's more women than men.
Okay.
Really? Okay.
Leave the moon alone.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead. You know what I mean?
Let's hear the person out.
Started.
Sure.
Conversation started.
I would stand next to this person. Yeah.
To the editor, a space agency scientist proposes to blow up the moon to see what is inside. It is possible scientists must have something to play with, but could they not leave our little old moon alone? Let us not destroy its beauty, as some of us have destroyed.
I've switched sides, by the way. I'm on the author side of this. That's a Mr. Show sketch.
It is a Mr. Show sketch.
Where they're talking about blowing up the moon.
Are you talking about...
Is that true?
Right. Do they actually want to, or is this guy
was that talked about, or is this person just out of their mind?
I just Googled it, and military chiefs plan to blow up the moon with nuclear...
No! Dave, that has to be a dollop.
No.
U.S. military chiefs plan to blow up the moon with nuclear bomb as shown to show Cold War muscle.
To
show Cold War muscle? That's what I'm focused on.
Take that, Ruskies. Now there's no moon. Boom. Suck it, Russians.
You know, that could be you next.
Wow. You think they would say, good night, moon. And then, detonate. I don't know the sound, but you know.
Well, it wouldn't be too loud because it'd be so far away, but we would just hear like a... There it is. It's gone.
Yeah, that was in 1957. And
I love that I love that it's always the Red Scare, and it's like that we will prove to Russia that we will not stand for their bullshit. So we are gonna blow up the moon. That'll show people who's on the right side of history.
Oh, yeah, no, this is NASA considered blowing up the moon in 1969.
What? How do you still get money when you're NASA? Like, if NASA at one point was like, let's blow up the moon, it would be like, okay, you're no more NASA. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Be like, yeah, you've sort of lost the thread. But, I mean... It would not shock me if I were to read Elon Musk write something along the lines of we need to blow up the moon. It's time.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of it. Just aesthetically speaking, it gets in the way of too much. And people would be like, yeah. Or if we said we were going to make phone batteries out of it, people would be like, fuck yeah.
Well, I could see that being someone's solution to climate change, right? If moons control the tides, they're like, okay, we'll get the waters down by destroying the moon.
Well, when you hear about the plans, the plans to combat climate change within the tent of capitalism, it's what you're saying. You're always like, could we just stop using oil? No. We will blow up the moon, and then that will cloud the sun, and it'll buy us some time, and then we can still make money forever. Isn't that great? What a good system.
Oh, my God. We are normal.
By the way, I'm now... It's shocking that there is not a sect of the population demanding for the moon to blow up today.
Honestly, I'm sure if you did a Google search, you would find your people. Okay? I believe they're there. They got a plan for that.
I want to get in that chat. So. Finally, found my group. Sick of it, too.
Oh, here is some climate. Here's some climate change. There's a climate change story. The Earth climate has changed often in 3 billion years. Well, I mean, it's 3 billion years.
Yeah, that's kind of our attitude now.
Over a man's lifetime, the climate of the Earth changes little, but since the birth of the planet on which we live, the climate has undergone great variations. Scientists have peered into the distant past and have found evidence for long stretches of warmth interspersed with very cold periods. So over 3 billion years,
yep,
it gets hotter or colder. So that might not have been the article I was hoping for.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, basically that, again, would be today.
Right, right. Sometimes it's hot. Sometimes it's cold.
There's snow in Colorado. Nothing's wrong.
Oh, shit. We got a theft. Ward's theft loss is $10,000.
Who's?
Ward's?
Ward's. Montgomery Ward's. Which is, for those who are too young, it is a department store, which was a store that had everything in it. Several mink coats, capes, stoles, and hats.
Okay. I love the cape era.
Who did I go think to? I'll,
I wanted that appearance that I can fly. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You know, the thing is the place you always went to get your capes was Montgomery Ward's.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like going to Kmart.
Do you have any Supermans?
But it's funny because my first thought is like a team of drag queens. Do you know what I mean? Because when I hear like mink stoles, some furs, some capes, I'm thinking drama capes. You're thinking Halloween capes. And I'm thinking
No, I'm thinking super. I'm thinking actual superhero capes. But you're right. It is more adroit to the Halloween variety for sure. I like your angle too.
My brain immediately went to like a guy with an 1800s cape that he threw in the mud so a lady could walk over the mud.
We all really. We could do a podcast called Capes. Anyway, let's sidebar on it after because there's three hot cape takes here.
So, with a total value of more than $10,000, have been stolen from the Montgomery Ward store at Apache Plaza.
Okay. No, what a testament, obviously. Lovely. Right. Another there's a white man again giving back. We're sorry. Here's a mall.
Doesn't that
make y'all feel better?
It's so great how terrible this story is. Not only are there just mink coats, but it's also named Apache Plaza. Like they're just.
Yeah.
Right.
We get it here.
About 40 mink pieces were taken at 4 a.m. Sunday by thieves who entered the building by breaking a plate glass door with a baseball bat.
Well, that's how you do it.
Hello.
That's no bomb, baby.
Yeah. Much more effective.
Much more.
The bat was
also... Yeah, the bomb guy was like, bats. Good.
The bat was also used to break a case holding the furs. So, yeah, just bring a bat and you get 10,000 bucks worth of...
4 a.m. Sunday.
And then what? How do you fence a bunch of furs? Like it just seems.
This is what I'm saying. You're not fencing. You're trying to look fabulous.
That's right. I'm starting to come around to Naomi's side on this one, Dave.
There was a basement drag show in Minneapolis, okay? And it was popping off like a week after this event. And we don't know about it.
I could also see the caped being the ones who are like, we got to get rid of that nasty moon.
So nefarious.
Devilish moon. Do you have any mustache wax? We have a plan to blow a part of space.
Here's a guy, and he's holding it looks like a pocket type thing that's black in the middle, and it says mini lung. Dr. W.R. Spence of Salt Lake City, Utah, demonstrated a mini lung he developed to show how much tar gets into a smoker's lung from a single cigarette.
Okay.
Wow. There's a lot.
Mini lung. A lot to unpack is what you're feeling, Gareth.
I'm overwhelmed.
His device is used extensively as a classroom teaching aid. He's in Minneapolis to point out health hazards in smoking during No Smoking Week.
Oh my God.
No Smoking Week at Apache Plaza.
Oh my God. I mean, knows. There is something. It is amazing that there was a guy who's like, these are bad for you. Meanwhile, they're like, man, we have no evidence of that in court under like oath. You know, like, we've never seen anything like that. Besides this weirdo with his little weird mini lung that he lives with, we think he has sex with it. To be honest.
Oh shit! This is an ad for the paper.
Jose is going fucking crazy.
Wait, I didn't know Jose would also be on this podcast.
Yeah. What didn't you see?
I mean, I hoped. Can you bring? I mean, I saw his image. You know, the painting of him.
He was just
you.
Here, and then he was like, "I'll do the scratching post near the mic." And then he's been jumping up on the kitchen. I've just been seeing like behind me, like this is just not good. Like stuff where I'm like, I'm gonna come once I can turn the corner. I'm gonna be like, "How did he find ham? I don't eat meat. How did he get ham in here? How is there ham?" All right, sorry.
So this is an ad in the paper for the few. Okay. Wednesday, ideas for snowtime hot drinks. Looking for a great hot drinks. Sorry. Looking for great hot drinks to warm the whole family on cold winter days and nights. Then turn to the taste section Wednesday and a feature by Beth Anderson on snowtime hot drinks.
Okay. A teaser. For the paper, in the paper, but it's not news. It's just like something out of Red Book. Hot drinks, tea. May I say tea? After that, coffee, hot chocolate, honestly. End of list.
Or is it like a toddy list?
Just one kind of toddy. Just
I know. I really like how, especially if you're in Minneapolis, you're like, yeah, we know. It gets fucking, we know. We're aware. Have you tried lava? For the whole family.
Hot drinks. Coming Wednesday to the Star Tribune. Well,
by the way, what a tough break to have drinks week during non-smoking week. It's just those two would love to hold hands.
Holy shit. There's a fucking story here about Fred Hampton being killed.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Wow. Safety
what page?
Called,
what page?
It is on page 22.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and he's not even listed. Oh,
praising
my God.
The cops early. He's what?
He's not even the number one. Oh, my God. Safety called reason for timing a Panther raid. The leader of a police raid in which two Black Panther Party leaders were slain on Monday said the raid was carried out before dawn because of safety factors. And then it says Clark, 22, a party leader from Peoria, was slain in the raid. And then it says also killed in the shooting, Fred Hampton. Wow.
You know, it.
Wow.
That's.
Wow. Funny. The greatest voice of a generation killed.
Yeah.
Just nestle it in there under.
Yeah.
We were being safe.
Like, it is also amazing, like, the way that, you know, when you have the time in between things. Like, I was watching this thing on Martin Luther King versus the FBI, and it's. It's amazing now how all the people that embrace, you know, are like, God, thank you for Dr. King. So would be the same fucking people back then who would be like tapping his phones.
Yeah. Get rid of him. Get rid of him.
And not giving a shit when he was killed, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so even here, it has the nice like police skew. Like the reason why the raid was carried out early was for, you know, it's just like, no, they fucking assassinated it.
Well, especially when I hate the use. There's something, I mean, you know, there's always funky wording, but specifically there's something about the word slain that I hate because it's both passive while also trying to connote almost like a highbrow element to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like was killed is already like, ooh, what happened? It's like, he was slain. In a poem. You know, and it's like very dramatic. And it's like, you mean they came in and shot him? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, no. It's more of a slaying if you... like we don't like murder.
Like a vampire.
Well, he had a cape. I mean, we did see capes nearby. I'll be honest. It was a bit of a Van Helsing. What we had... We think he was a... Van Helsing is what we were dealing with. That's why we had to go before dawn. That's fucking page 22.
22.
I mean, it just shows you why
also,
it's always important to ignore all of mainstream media.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Okay, now also on page 22, don't be a stay-at-home because of facial hair. Embarrassment.
Same. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm going to need you to take it back.
I'm also going to request a skip back, if that's cool, Dave.
So it's a lady. She's got her hands like this, and she's looking sad.
Her hands right? on her oh. face looking sad.
Hands on her face
she's
looking sad.
She's home aloneing.
Don't be a stay-at-home because of facial hair. Embarrassment caused by hair blemishes turns many otherwise lovely women into chronic stay-at-homes.
Ugh. Chronic stay-at-homes. I've also, I think we should bring back the phrase stay-at-home.
Stay-at-home.
That's all of
we're
us.
All,
you know, in COVID,
we're all
stay-at-homes
right now, yes.
Exactly. I was going to say, I've been a chronic stay-at-home for a long time. Beard or no. So this is like, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Some are conscious of the reason, others not. It often hides behind a too much trouble excuse or unexpressed feelings of insecurity about your appearance. The sensible thing to do is have hair blemishes removed at once. Get them out of sight and out of mind permanently. This is easy to accomplish now with Gregory Thermalysis.
That's his name? Gregory That sounds Thermalysis. Like the guy's going to blow up the moon. No. I'm Gregory Thermalysis.
It's not Thermalysis.
Thermalysis. Cold ISIS. We must bop them.
For Gregory has overcome the three objections women raised to permanent hair removal: slowness, discomfort, and expense.
Okay, Gregory.
What a guy.
Consider many women in four countries are having such large areas as arms and legs cleared of ugly hair by their gentle Gregory technicians. And a lot of them catch up on their reading or sleeping while the work is being done. Doesn't that speak well for the speed, comfort, and reasonable cost of Thermalysis?
But no, even stronger actually, evidence. If you're sleeping, it's taking a while. Okay? If you have time for a REM cycle, that is long term.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's an operation.
It truly is an operation.
Beep. Beep.
We've almost got it off her legs, doctor. Beep. Put the Thermalysis on her.
Beep. Beep.
Well, it's also, it is like, I mean, you know, it's amazing because it is such a given now that those are taken care of. And it all is rooted in, you know, societal shame. And I wonder where that was coming from.
Right.
I wonder who it's like. Ugh.
It was Dr. Gregory. Like, yes, that's how you start your business. You walk around, you go,
basically, yeah.
She's a beast. Ugh. She's a beast. And then he's like, I can help you with that with my Thermalysis.
Over three nights, we'll put you in a mini coma, and I'll shorn you. We'll make a sweater out of you, ladies.
You'll wake up hairless and pregnant.
My hair! We overstepped. We took the hair off your head. I'm so sorry.
It's electrolysis, and they eventually moved into laser hair removal.
That's early. Wow.
Yeah. It was named after Dorothy Gregory, an electrologist, and then she died in 1997, and all the chains went away. But she had 20 clinics.
Wow. Holy
fucking
shit.
Fucking wild shit.
It's like a Vic Tanny when I was a kid.
Who's
Vic
what?
Tanny?
You guys, that was a Midwest tanning place.
I wasn't trying to tell you that. I'm not familiar. Yeah. I'm not familiar with not that sure. lifestyle.
I don't see color, so it's very hard for me to address what this is. I don't even know if it was tanning. I believe it was.
That's so funny. So like, would people tan in the Midwest like in winter to be like, look, it's not so bleak? Is that what you would do? You know what I mean?
It would be like, I'm trying to think of it. Almost people became like panthers, where it was like they became so much more tan, the hair became more blonde, and yes. You're like, holy fuck, they looked like they were Siegfried and Roy.
Okay, so this is there's a little section called Mr. Fix It. Mr. Fix It will answer your question, tackle your problem, plead your case. Right.
I feel like this whole paper has been Mr. Fix It.
This whole paper really feels like a QVC episode.
Except the ads are the news.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, this paper, it feels like the ads are the news.
Yeah.
So there's a question this guy's like asking, like, I got this company. Is it a real company? And this other one is like, how much does it cost to get an electrical engineering degree?
Do I have a company? It's a great question. Am I running a company, Mr. Fix-It? I don't think so, Chad, if you're asking that question.
And then there's this question. Recently, I heard that Como Lake is a man-made lake. True or false?
Mr. Fix-It.
What does that have to do with Mr. Fix-It?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to fix it into a lake. Mr. Fix-It.
Como Lake is a natural lake. It was.
There should be some microwave questions in there, by the way.
My Mr. microwave is leaking. How do I stop the radiation from destroying me and my family?
My wife hates me. Mr. Fix It, what's the move?
Anyway, it's a natural lake.
I'm allergic to pears, Mr. Fix It.
Mr. Help. Fix It, he's just Google.
Yeah, exactly. He's asked Jeeves, yeah. Poor guy was like, are there any like I'm a mechanic. They're like, no, this they're having trouble at home. He's like, I mean, I guess I don't. Yes, I'm really like a tool guy.
Well, see, this is why when people say print is dead, you're like, yeah, it should be. Should be. Yeah. They had pages to fill. They had pages to fill up in here.
Not much different. Not much different.
Here's a great ad. I'm looking at all these ads just look like stories. It's amazing because you always read these in the papers from the 1800s, but I can't believe they went on this long. And actually, they probably still have them, but
they still do. There's a lot of times where you'll see stuff in papers and you'll if you're a cognitive human, you are able to discern that it is an ad, but every part of it is like breakthrough in laser hair removal. And you're like, whoa.
When did they legally have to start writing, this is an advertisement, in the small font at the very bottom?
And negotiating the font where they're like, should be like that so people know that, well, we're thinking maybe it's tinier than the actual print font. Little cheddar will help make that happen.
Okay, so this one says advertisement at the top, but the headline is, Dr. OK's this hemorrhoid treatment for New
Jersey. I like
that
the name is Dr. OK.
Dr. OK.
I'm Dr. OK. And I've got butthole stuff.
Dr. OK's this hemorrhoid treatment for New Jersey couple's son. Treatment shrinks piles, relieves pain in most cases. Whoa. Wharton, New Jersey. Mr. and Mrs. C.M. Jeffers.
Of course, it's Wharton. Mr. and Mrs. who?
Mr. and Mrs. C.M. Jeffers report, quote, our son suffered from hemorrhoids. I asked the doctor
about
preparation.
Hey, can you not do that interview, Mom? Is there any way to just plead the fifth or something?
Well, honey, they wanted to know why you haven't been in school. I had to tell them, but it was the hemorrhoids.
You say I had the sore throat or something.
But, honey, you won't even sit in your own chair.
Mom, stop talking to the man.
So anyway, we went to a lovely doctor.
We were so worried.
My boy won't sit, and he won't let me look at it because I'm his mother. Will you take a look at what's going on, doctor?
By the way, we did look when he was sleeping, doctor. We want to be honest, and it is a goddamn nightmare in there.
It is piles of piles.
Oh, it's like Braille.
What's he eating? Jesus.
Thumbtacks.
I asked the doctor about Preparation H, and he gave us the okay. Our son is now fine, thanks to Preparation H.
By the way, that product should not have preparation in its name. It is a post-procedure. You're not preparing for much.
Well, but also, I think it's really funny that this is an ad for Preparation H, but they were like, let's take the family schoolboy approach. Do you know what I mean? Like being like, who can all latch on? Okay, there's a teen. His butt hurts. His parents need help. What's
Who
the
is
narrative?
He? Yeah, come on, guys. Let's pitch around it.
Exactly. It's like,
but wouldn't what if the target demo be like a 45-year-old person?
Older people, absolutely.
Yeah, a teen.
Yeah.
Just like he's out there skateboarding, getting piles.
Because they don't want you to think you're old because you have hemorrhoids, right? They're like, hemorrhoids are for everybody. Even the cool
kids like
get hemorrhoids.
Oh, it's like butt acne.
Oh, shit.
Come on.
There's the Scotch Mist Lounge on 11th and LaSalle in downtown Minneapolis is having a lingerie fashion show during noon lunches, Monday through Friday, 11:30 to 2 p.m.
11:30 to 2?
Whose lunch is that? And a lingerie fashion show in the middle of the workday.
That's right.
And that's all probably a lot of dudes just taking like wet martini lunches, just like, see you there, dude. Gentlemen, you have to buy something this week. We're shopping.
It includes Hawaiian and modern dance.
What? All two?
All two. In the lingerie.
God, it's very, very clear. Great marketing, obviously.
All right, so let's end with this. This is a columnist
What if this just, Naomi, what if this kept going for like another 45 minutes? You're like, these guys are like, it's going to be an hour. We're just like going like for deep into the paper.
It's like, I think he's reading every single page of the
Dave's
paper.
Doing microfiche now.
Well, like, honestly, it looks like you would be, you are at a microfiche.
Yeah, I like to picture that.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like you're at a microfiche because when you like scroll up and stuff and I'm like, oh my God, he's getting
I want to get him a jeweler's loop. I feel like that'll really help sell the vision.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, so this is columnist Will Jones, and in his column here, there's a picture of Alfred Hitchcock, and it says under the picture, Alfred Hitchcock, is he kidding? Fat, rich, jolly old Alfred. Fat, rich, jolly old Alfred Hitchcock is having all us on. I say that in preference to reporting that poor, dear, misguided old Alfred Hitchcock has goofed again after watching his latest movie, Topaz. The latter guess is the one in which I believe. But he goes on to shit all over Alfred. Okay, so that's fine. And then the bottom here, the bottom part of his... The Pat O'Brien anthem, Star-Spangled Banner isn't singable, eh? That's what the Carpers have been saying for some years now. So the Super Bowl producers gave us a switch, Pat O'Brien shouting it. Now the question is the Star-Spangled Banner shoutable? The effect intended may have been something akin to Rockne urging us all to get in there and win one more for the Gipper, the role that O'Brien
what
once
filled. What are these words?
Rather
I feel
well.
Like this guy just put a bunch of bumper stickers into a column.
I don't understand. Shoutable Gipper?
It's like fridge magnet poetry, but the article.
But then some of the magnets fell off the fridge, and now you're just trying to figure it out.
I think there should be a verb in here somewhere. It's just a bunch of slander.
I love it. Like it's like you can see this on TV or the radio, but a guy shouting in the paper, you're just like, okay, I can't.
Well, I also like the idea that is he not basically saying a dude shouted the national anthem, which is the greatest way to sing it ever. Oh, say, can you say, by the dawn's early light, okay? What so proudly we have? No, I'm not even going to do it. I will finish. It's like, that anthem is ruined.
Oh, my goodness.
Fuck. Whenever I hear Pat O'Brien, I just think pervy Access Hollywood guy or whatever
that's
he was.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah. He was pervy. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they recorded him going like, I'm going to do coke off you. And that's
oh, awesome. Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I don't.
Okay. He was.
He was a long time CBS.
He was like a sports guy.
Football mostly, right?
It was like this tape. He did a bunch of stuff. He was like a Hollywood guy or whatever. And then someone recorded him it was like the next day. He was like, obviously I'm going to rehab. But he was like, he left someone a voicemail where he was going like, basically he's saying like, he's leaving someone a voicemail and he's like saying, we'll get a couple girls over here for you. And then we'll just do all this coke and I'll just fuck you and just do all this. And it was like, he was like the guy who was like, he was like, I talked to Michael Jordan before the game. And then he was like, I will snort coke out of you. And then I'll fuck you with cocaine and it'll be great. And then the next day he's like, I have a problem and I want to address it. I want to grow from this.
Yeah. It was like, I'm going to eat your ass. I'm going to eat my ass.
Yeah.
It was just like,
I wish he said he was going to eat his own ass. That would have been like the peak of any voicemail.
I think it's great that he left that at a voicemail. Can you imagine getting a sexual voicemail of that nature? Like, here's what I plan to do. Here's the set list for tonight's sexuality. And then he just lists everything.
It's
like
voicemail. To feel comfortable being like, I can trust her.
Exactly. Like, she's going to be in her house with her.
It's okay. My career's hanging on this voicemail, technically, but whatever. She's cool. She does drugs. She's not unpredictable. This will hold as a friendship forever. Naomi, I'm not going to lie, Dave. That was a pretty good one.
That was great. That was really great.
Good.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, Naomi. Truly, that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
fun,
you're awesome.
As we all expected it would be.
Yes.
So watch the stand-ups. Not all of them, but just watch yours.
Yeah, season 3, episode 2. That's all you need.
Yeah, episode 2.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. At Blacktress, at Blacktress Comedy, and Couples Therapy Podcast. Thank you tremendously for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
And next time, let's record one of these.
Oh, shit. We should have done that.
I think next time we record them. I really do. These are fun and everything, but I think next time we record them.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be a podcast.
Over. Yeah.
Just the thought.
Some of these days, you'll miss me home.
you say by the dawn's earthly light. Okay? What's so proudly we have? No, I'm not even going to do it. I will finish. Oh, yes, it's Gareth. Not Gary, stop it. Gear Force, listen, I've got a bunch of stand-up shows coming up, and I want to see you there. We can hug. I will be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Then I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, June 18th. I will be at Nashville, Zanies, June 19th. I will be in Huntsville, Alabama, June 20th. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, June 21st, June 22nd. Then I will be in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, June 26th. Then I'll be in East Providence, Rhode Island, June 27th. Then I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts, and Boston, June 28th. That's two shows. I will be in Springfield, Massachusetts, June 29th, Rochester, New York, June 30th, and then July 5th through the 6th. Canada, I've heard your prayers, and I will answer them. I will be in Toronto. So come join me at the Comedy Bar. Go to GarethReynolds.com for tickets and information. That's right, Gear Force. We're calling you up. It's the big time. The big leagues. This went poorly.